Welcome to the Cleveland Law Library Podcast Network. My name is Kathy Sassala, and I am the director of the Cleveland Law Library, which is located in the Cuyahoga County Courthouse in downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Beginning with today's program, we are going to record and post a series of podcasts on issues that are relevant to the local legal community. For our inaugural podcast today, we decided to start off by revealing the mysteries of the Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court's asbestos docket. To help us uncover its closely guarded secrets, we have invited Brendan Doyle, who is one of the staff attorneys for the local asbestos judges. Thank you for joining us here today, Mr. Doyle.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'd like to start off by asking you to describe what the asbestos docket is, and if you could tell us what types of cases it covers.
The asbestos docket was created by the court administrators to cover all of the asbestos cases. We have over 40,000 asbestos cases, which is why a specialized docket for those cases was created. The docket also handles and administers to the welding rod cases and the silica cases.
I think I'm familiar with what welding rod cases are, but what are silica cases?
Silica cases stem from lawsuits that are filed from workers who are alleging that they have scarring behind their lungs from inhaling respirable sand.
Oh, okay. Now, this docket you describe, is it separate from the Common Pleas Court dockets for the criminal and the civil and the probate cases?
It is. As I mentioned, it was created in order to just work with those asbestos cases because there are so many of them.
And are there special judges who have cases that are posted to the asbestos docket?
Yes, there are. There are three retired judges. Those judges are Harry Hanna, Leo Spellacy, and Francis Sweeney.
Now, do you know when the asbestos docket was first created?
It was created about 1996 or 1997, and it was originally on an online docket by the name of CLAD.
What does CLAD stand for?
That stands for Complex Litigation Asbestos Docket.
So it's an acronym?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you have access to CLAD?
We do not, no. CLAD is no longer in existence.
Is it archived anywhere?
It is. It's archived in the files down in the basement of the old courthouse here.
So if that's no longer available, where is the asbestos docket currently located?
It is. It's currently on a system called LexisNexis File and Serve.
Okay. And can you describe what that is?
Sure. It is, I think, probably very similar to the online docket that federal court has. But it's a total online docket. Where we can see, what has been filed that day, what is filed by case, we can upload the documents from File and Serve.
When you say upload, is that documents that the judges are issuing, or you're drafting for the judges?
It's everything. It is decisions that we've made. It is opinions that the judges might write. We upload those directly to the system.
And so users to this system can download or print the files?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you know when LexisNexis File and Serve took over?
It took over about 2003.
Okay. And specifically, how does your court use this system?
As I mentioned, we use File and Serve in order to literally look at what is filed minute by minute on any of our asbestos, silica, or welding rod cases. We can look at it at any point in the day and see what has been filed literally minute by minute. It's very similar to the federal court system.
And are there multiple ways of searching in the docket?
There are. It's very convenient, especially when compared to the normal docket in the clerk's office. You can search for any information by party name, the name of the plaintiff or the name of a defendant, the attorney, judges, dates that cases might be filed, transaction numbers. There's a transaction number assigned to every single document filed with the court, which is also a very convenient way of being able to look up specific documents.
Okay, and when you mentioned that you could search minute by minute, can you search for everything filed by day, by month?
You can. Literally, you can see everything that's been filed. You can type in a date and see every document that was filed that day by either an attorney or the court.
Now, does file and serve provide anything other than access to the dockets, like the full text of documents or, you know, the pleadings and complaints and things like that?
Everything. It is all accessible by way of file and serve. And literally, you just click the mouse, and it will provide you that document. You'll be able to see it right on your computer screen.
That's very convenient.
Very.
Now, do you know of any other courts besides our local asbestos docket that are utilizing file and serve?
Yeah, there's two other counties in Ohio that also utilize file and serve. Those are Butler County and Lucas County.
And those are the common pleas courts, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Does Cuyahoga Common Pleas Court pay anything for access to file and serve?
They do not. The court system here does not pay anything to file and serve, to LexisNexis, I should say, for use of the system. It is the parties who are paying to use the system.
So the docket is accessible to local attorneys then?
That's correct.
Okay, and do they have to have a pending case in order to sign up for LexisNexis file and serve?
No, anybody can access file and serve as long as they pay the subscription fee.
So it's not free?
It is not free.
Okay. We have a pay-as-we-go subscription to file and serve, and we can get dockets on behalf of our patrons, and it's about $6.45 for an average docket. But I was wondering about whether members of the public have access to the asbestos docket.
Unfortunately, at this point, unless they are paying for the system themselves, they do not have access to the docket. There was when, I think even as early as when CLAD was still in use, the plan was to have a kiosk or terminal in the clerk's office that members of the public could walk up to and access the asbestos docket. And at this point, that actually has still not happened. So if members of the public want to access the asbestos docket, they would need to pay the subscription fee at this point.
Okay, so since there isn't any location for free access, who would they contact then about a subscription?
They could contact the LexisNexis representatives, and if they get in touch with them, I think that's they would be the best people to give them guidance with regard to how they can go about getting access to the docket.
And they would probably provide training as well?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, Mr. Doyle. I believe that concludes our interview for today, and I really do appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate your having me. Thank you.